it's just, I mean, no. VR is already cost prohibitive, but that's like a whole other zero on the end of it.
Yeah, the PlayStation VR is like $400 just for the headset.
Yeah, I was looking at pricing it because I was like, hey, maybe I should get into this space. And then I was like, back away, not today. Gonna buy a sword instead.
Generally, you know, people who aren't living in a house don't generate as much trash as people who live in a house.
It doesn't seem like there's just half.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Or
two-fifths.
One person I used to live with, which if anybody listens to this, might be able to suss out.
Yes. Oh, good morning. Hello.
I wanted to surprise you. But
you did.
Or give you some cold open stuff. But used to claim that I used all the toilet paper, when in reality it was him, because after they left... I just said him, so I gave much.
Oh, God, no.
I've only ever lived with guys, so anyway.
I was going to say.
So, like, after that person left, I noticed that there was a significantly lower amount of toilet paper used in the house, and I was like, that motherfucker. God fucking damn it. You fucking fucker.
Highball and or Kyle's ex-roommate, give us money.
For all that toilet paper you used.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
Tens of dollars of toilet paper used.
As Kendrick just mentioned.
Kendrick Evans. Smiling politely.
He's got a highball right next to his lips right there, so if he sounds like he's gargling a...
So he's going to spend the rest of the podcast talking like, I'm about to take a drink, like, but not actually taking a drink.
So, how's everybody doing today?
Gargling ball!
Oh, wait. That's where I was going to go, but I was like, I don't want to say cock on the podcast.
It's a gargling ball.
I know, and then I was going to say, like, oh, he's gargling cock and balls in his mouth.
Gargling balls.
And I know what I know what you fucking said. I'm telling you what I said.
Go and get an electric guitar riff. Put it. I got this. Would be like four episodes back now. I got a little crazy with the editing.
And yeah,
I may or may not.
Interested in seeing what you did here.
I may or may not do that again. Just depends on, because let me give everyone who's listening a little window.
Just to be clear, I was offended that you said it was a mild chore to edit this. I didn't realize it was so annoying or bad for you. So
yeah. So let me just let's just break this up here. So basically. Let's just bark this up a little bit. Tangents. You're gonna build a tangent on tangent. It reminds me that Kate is working with another text editor, a popular web editor. That's popular with like lightweight stuff. You might try it.
It's not Squarespace.
No, it's called Brackets.
Oh.
It's popular with some people. I don't like it because it doesn't do all the cool shit that, like, Sublime does. But
oh, I see what you're talking about.
But it has, like, a built-in web server, so you can have, like, auto-refresh stuff, and that's kind of neat, but would never work for us because we always have to do other weird shit.
Mm.
But I'm helping her with her homework, and I was refusing to... I might have been a little intoxicated, and I was refusing to pronounce it any other way about brackets!
Brackets!
And so I would just be like, okay, so go from your web browser here, and then go ahead and go, brackets! And then you're gonna...
Did you, like, startle her at all?
Yes, every time. And, it never stopped being funny to me.
I can only imagine it's funny. Like, it's like Kate, like, but oh yeah, god, fuck.
But then I was helping her, so she couldn't really tell me to fuck off. It was terrible. I'm an awful person. But my whole point here was, typically,
brackets.
So that brackets. That was basically like a weird Tourette's.
I
said it
was more like a chicken, and you do like a dog.
Yeah. It's not just
Tourette's
brackets.
Thing.
Brackets
Tourette's.
Is okay.
Okay, Tourette's. So, we're talking about Tourette's.
No, I was going to tell you a little window into the Sitsock making of experience.
Making of Sitsock right now.
There you go, yeah. Basically, what I usually do is, when I would normally be listening to podcasts or YouTube videos or music or whatever it is while I work, because there's these long tracks of me staring at stuff or listening to things or like waiting for stuff. So there's these times where I can kind of, not necessarily zone out, but where my audio is not busy. So, a lot of times what I will do for SipTalk when I'm working from home is I will listen to the podcast and I will tag it as I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just be kind of tabbing back and forth. Oh, that's a good tag. Put it in there. Oh, that's a good tag. Put it in there, right? And then going back and forth from actually working and doing that. Surprisingly, it doesn't impact my productivity nearly as much as fucking around in the office does. So
I can imagine that's
true. It's kind of funny that it's basically a wash. But then what I'll do is I'll either take a break or I'll do it right after work, depending on how the day is going. Because there are times when I just need a break and I need to step away. And normally I just go for a walk around the little lake thing. But at home, I edit podcasts as a break. It's kind of a nice gear shift, right?
Okay.
This work from home day was hectic, so I didn't get a chance to do it. So what I did instead was I did it after after work, like in the late evening. So I was like having some wine or something because I was hanging out, and I think I was waiting to help Kate with her homework.
Okay.
And so I was a lot more fast and loose and a lot more experimental with shit. Like, I don't know, let's do it. Who fucking cares? My podcast. I'll do what I want. And so it got a little more crazy than it normally does. So
like crazy with the tags?
No.
Or like what you do with the audio?
This is the problem, because anyone listening has already heard this. It was old news like a month ago. So
I know, but I never listen to our podcast, so I have to get it through you on later podcasts.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to today's. Well, is it today's?
No, it's next week's.
Okay. Okay, well, no, it's not. This is time is a wibbly wobbly thing.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Okay, I'll listen to it anyway.
But yeah, I basically just cut it up, and you asked for a sound effect, and I obliged, but not in the way that you would expect. It's rapidly, I mean, let's...
Have you put it up on Aether?
Yeah, it's on there. I don't know if we should admit where we're getting some of our inspiration from for some of these things, but I have to admit that, I'm just going to straight up say it, I'm inspired by the way Game Grumps edits their stuff.
Like and post-editing, doing weird
stuff?
Yeah,
some of the weird bullshit, like where they, with the call-outs, that's kind of been on my mind with some of the... Fusion Kendrick do this, because I realized that it's very similar. When I was watching more games, I was like, I think I probably ripped that off of them.
Actually, yeah. And
but they didn't come up with it, so I'm not
sure. They do that in the Dice Tower podcast and other podcasts where like they're like, I forgot what the name of that thing is. Future Eric, go figure it out.
Figure it out and put it up like here.
Future Eric is right here, and this thing was this, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, so it's... Yeah. I think it might be like kind of a...
It's kind of a trope.
Yeah, a podcast trope.
And it's a trope of anything is breaking the fourth wall to, you know, not ask the editor to do something. And in Game Grumps, they're always like, I'll put a picture of this stupid thing up here, and then like you'll have one like fly up. But I don't have visual media. I mean, I can put some pictures on there, but for the most part, it's fucking with the audio.
Speaking of visual media, last night Joe and me and Aaron and Amy all played... I made Joe play Resident Evil 7 in VR.
I heard about
and
this.
And we recorded it all. So that should be a fun experience, because like there were legitimate times when all of us in the room jumped at stuff that Joe was doing with all the lights on, and I was like, "Hot damn, this game is fucking scary!" Like
I gotta come down and try it sometime.
Yeah, it's actually cool, and even if you're not playing Yak Game, yeah, the Batman one is really cool, because the whole idea is like it's immersive, right? And someone said it yesterday, and I didn't really realize it. It wasn't until I saw the Community episode with VR, and I don't know if anybody's watched Community on that's listening. It's a pretty good show. Later in the whole run of the show, there's an episode where the Dean buys a VR thing, and like it's just hilarious. And but some of the stuff he says is actually why VR is cool, because it's, I mean, the idea of standing there and looking at a screen and being able to turn your character around is like, yeah, I mean, it's immersive. You built the whole world. You didn't just build the tunnel in front of you, right?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
But the idea of sitting there, standing, and where you look is actually like that part in the world is just subtly different, but amazingly cool. Like
I would think that would be. I've done some VR. What did I do? I did something a long, long, long time ago, and it was really shitty. And then I played around with the some of the 3D videos you can get on the phone thing with the cardboard thing, but never got any games for it.
Okay.
So I'm actually I gotta get down there sometime.
Well, one of the things that DS did when it came out was they had like a VR mode.
Yeah.
And what it did is it used the like accelerometer in the DS with like just the camera.
Yeah.
To actually like make it so the things that were happening in your real world, yes. And you're just seeing them through the DS, which was kind of cool.
That was cool. Yeah.
It is VR, and like that was the thing is that that subtle thing is also kind of that VR world is just superimposing imagery on top of what's.
Well, they call that there. AR.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Reality.
Yeah, that's right. That's
but it's still a form of virtual reality.
That's fair.
So I was watching a Game Grumps episode again, and I think they were playing. So you have the PlayStation 1, right?
I have PlayStation 4. Yes, I have the PlayStation
that's
the VR.
Okay, that's the. Because there's like 1,000 out of nowhere. Like I turned around,
I think
and there
the
are like
three
seven.
Main ones are the Oculus, the View, or something. I can't remember the center one, but then the PlayStation VR. Those are just like.
Well, then there's
three
the HoloLens, which is Microsoft's. Isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I was reading an article in, I don't know, Electronic Gaming Monthly. No, though, in Game Informer, the GameStop magazine.
Sure, yeah.
And they were talking about, this guy asked a question. He's like, should I buy into VR and, like, dip into my kid's college account or something? Since like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, probably not. Like, there's not a lot of stuff happening for it. You don't need to buy into it yet. And they named three. And the three, like, really prominent ones, I guess, are Oculus, the second one, I can't remember, which may be the one you're talking about.
It might
about
be View. PlayStation and VR. Because there's the Samsung one, I think. Then there's the Microsoft one. And then I want to say there's like six or seven fringe players that are just hanging around.
And I
like,
think it's already died down.
Oh, Steam has one.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, they have their own.
I think the VR thing is already dying down a little bit. Cause
it does. It comes in fits and spurts. I mean, it was really big in the early 90s, and then it was really big again in the early 2000s.
Go ahead. Sorry, you're
going to... I'm just saying, it comes and goes. And each time it comes, it's better than it was before.
It's interesting because you kind of have to rebuild the entire way you design a game, almost. Like,
in a lot of ways, it's a completely different game design.
You're not just rendering what they see at any moment, right? You are, but it's different. Like, I don't know. It's, for some reason, you can tell that they're not able to push the same kind of graphics through the VR that they could, like, a normal, like, HD TV. And there's probably... Because it's probably something to do with the headset.
A lot of that's the headset.
Yeah.
Because, you're talking about... Because a full HD TV is huge, right? It's got a whole lot of discrete components in it. It's very large.
Mm-hmm.
To put all that in a headset would mean shrinking it down. And that would make it, $12,000 headset then. And it's just... VR is already cost prohibitive, but that's like a whole other zero on the end of it.
Yeah, the PlayStation VR is like $400 just for the headset.
Yeah, I was looking at pricing it because I was like, hey, maybe I should get into this space. And then I was like, back away, not today. You're going to buy a sword instead.
Which was also the same amount.
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, two swords.
So I had ended up getting a PlayStation camera and two move controllers too.
Armor. Yeah.
Which is like kind of like virtual reality, but it's actually reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. With swords.
So
virtual sort.
So reality. I saw a game on Game Pass. Okay. This is part I was trying to figure out because people say, "Oh, we're playing this VR game," and I'm like, "Well, which one is it?" It sounds like it's mostly Sony right now when I see people playing it because there's a Steam one, but I don't know.
You're trying to figure out which VR system they're using.
And it seems like it's mostly Sony, but they're playing one which was I Expect You to Die.
Have you heard of
that one?
No.
If that's for play, I might have to just buy it if you let me play it, and then you can have it They were playing as a spy, and then they had to like get out of situations. Like they were.
It's called
like,
I Want You to Die.
I think I want you to. Or no, I expect you to die.
Okay.
It's like a James Bond illusion, and it was amazing to watch because it was like you're in a car stealing it out of an airplane, and there's like a guy in your
yeah.
In your
it
radio
is on PlayStation.
Telling,
oh, yeah. Five is the other one, but let's see.
I thought that was the PlayStation one. Five.
No, PlayStation VR is the. It's the PlayStation.
Okay. I thought it was.
Yeah,
PS5.
It's on PlayStation VR. No, it's. VR, it's just
confusing.
I don't know what the Vibe is. I've never heard of that before.
That is weird. I mean, I would have sworn that was what it was called. Maybe they rebranded. So there's like you're trying to steal a car out of an airplane. Like it's a James Bond thing. You're in a car in an airplane, and you have to like get it out, and then it's got like it's like a spy car, so it's got like parachutes and shit, and. It's these things like you try to start the car, but then this little facial recognition thing kicks up and shoots with a laser unless you lean out of the way.
It's a HTC Vive, which is the HTC headset. Sorry,
gotcha.
That actually, it looked cool. The screenshots I just saw just looked
cool. And then it's like, and then it drops a bomb in your lap. And if you went through the glove box first, you'd found the instructions on how to defuse bombs that you're supposed to read. And then you find a knife that's also in the glove box.
Do you know if it uses the move controllers or not?
I believe it does.
So that's awesome because that sounds sweet because you could probably do stuff with the bomb.
Yeah.
And did they do that?
There's like some stuff with it. With the Game Grumps, they're just trying to feed of what the game is. I couldn't see what he's doing with his hands.
Okay. Yeah, but, no, you're right. But like, they usually show it on screen, like, when their hands come up. Like, Batman VR, when you touch stuff, like, with the
move controller, moving around, and stuff was moving around. Like, he was articulating things in space. So I assumed it was the move controller. I've never used those. Then the other one I really wanted is actually also weirdly bomb-related, but I think this one is on Steam. And I forget how it is, but it is... I have to remember the name of it, but it's weird. These are all bomb related. I think it's just because it's fun to think about fine motor skills in these games, right? But
right. Yeah.
It was you have to defuse a bomb, and the bomb is procedurally generated every time you start the game, and it can take up to an hour. And it's just this extremely complicated bomb. But the trick to that one is you print out this 30-page instruction manual or something of like bomb defusal, and you work with other people who aren't playing the game.
I had heard of that. That's a VR game?
I think it is.
Because like the one I heard like it was just an actual game. Like, but it might be cool if it was a VR. Like,
because the whole point of this one, if I remember correctly, was it's VR because only you can see the bomb.
Yeah, no.
And so you have to
right.
like explain what you're seeing to other people, and only they can see the instructions. So they're like, they're split instructions up. You're like, okay, I see wires. Who's got the information on wires? Like, okay, I got the thing on wires here. What do you see? It's like, okay, I see a green wire and a red wire and a blue wire. Are you sure it's a blue wire or is it a teal wire? Okay, I guess it's more of a teal. Don't touch the teal wire. Like,
Okay.
It sounds like a way to make a really intense situation.
No, yeah, I think that I've heard of that one.
Much
too.
Like Artemis.
Yeah, yeah. That actually does sound fun. I wonder if that's just for Steam or not. Because that does sound awesome.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you need like a whole team of people who aren't actually playing the game to play the game. And those kind of gimmicks really sell
Well,
me.
That's kind of cool too, because that makes the VR experience like, because that was one of the things that you'll notice if you play for a while, like no one's around.
Yeah.
Like shit can happen around you that you're not like, because they give you headphones. So like,
yeah,
you could be fully immersed in it and not know that your house is on fire.
Yeah.
Like, and that is a very dangerous thing, but it's awesome, simultaneously incredibly awesome, because you're sitting here fully immersed,
uh-huh,
and it's like you're never like that. You're
so
never,
like a drug
ever
trip.
Like that. Kind of almost like some of the shit you see in the Batman VR game is like a drug trip. Like you're starting to get sick because of like Joker venom or something.
Oh dear.
Or Joker toxin or whatever they call it. And you're like in this little cell, and you're, every time you turn around, something's different, and like it's getting smaller and smaller around you.
That's the stuff that I wanted to play, the Stanley Parable kind of shit. That's the kind of game I would love to play just to fuck with your head.
Yeah, and I'm hoping something really, really cool comes out for that. And then the epitome of at least the PlayStation 1, I'm not sure, again, we probably should have done a teensy bit of research before we did this, but fuck it. Is there's a game coming out called Farpoint, and it's like a fully immersive, like, first-person shooter game for the VR, which sounds really cool because they haven't done that yet. And it uses like a light gun with two move controllers, so like it's got two move controllers in the like light gun like fixture,
huh.
And like you, the way you do interact with the world is like through the gun thing, and I don't know, it seems pretty cool. There's a few other ones too, like there's a track shooter called that's based on the Until Dawn world, which is like Until Dawn, it's Funhouse or some shit like that, and it sounds terrifying, but the one that Amy played was called Wayward Sky, and it was a like point and click adventure kind
of. I think I've heard of that one.
And you're like trying to rescue your dad from this like gigantic flying fortress where there's robots, and you have to like, you know, solve these little puzzles. But like half of the fun of it is like clicking to go somewhere, and the other fun of it is like doing little puzzles with like the skills.
It sounds to me like we're seeing the VR thing. It's really stepping up in affordability. Convenience, like it sounds like it's fairly easy to set these things up compared to any historic setup.
Oh yeah, I mean, there is a whole booklet on how to set the VR up, but once you do it, like you never have to touch
it. How long did it take you to set up?
Probably like 30 minutes because I was going slow. Like, I mean,
that's still pretty low compared to the historic.
The whole thing is like there's a box, or yeah. So we'll just talk about it. There's a box, right?
Yeah.
And you pass the PlayStation, like visuals through this box, and that box is connected to the VR headset. So, like, right now,
you're
it's
totally
not,
untethered.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm tethered. Like,
tethered.
It goes from the headset to the box.
Okay.
So, like, there's two inputs into the box. It's one from the PlayStation, one goes out to the TV.
Yeah.
And then there's the third one, which is, like, straight for the VR out the front. So, the headset is connected by, like, a 15-foot cable that goes up to the headset.
Okay. I had heard people were doing wireless.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounded...
I had expected that for some reason, and I was like, I was like, oh man, this is tethered. And I was like, well, there's probably a very good reason for that, because it's like
wireless high speed, like data, HDMI stuff is not quite there yet. There's a company that's doing it, but it's not, it's kind of vapory looking, so.
Hmm. Yeah, so that's why I made Joe come down last night, is because like, I was like, I don't want to, I don't mind do this, but I don't want to reset it up, because
no,
we have
seems
our
like
tangle behind
permanent,
our screen.
It seems like it's a pretty much a fixture, but there's, because like the Steam one uses multiple sensors,
okay,
in different places around the room, because it uses those are using IR, I think, to
that,
track.
I think most of them do that because the PlayStation Move controllers have the little ball on top that
it's
light based, and the PlayStation headset actually has like lights around it, so it can detect like where your headset is turning based off where your head's at.
And so, how many sensors do you set up for it? Like that?
Just the camera, and then the camera on the top of the TV.
So they're using a camera.
Uh-huh.
The PlayStation, I mean, the Steam one, instead of using a camera, uses cheaper sensors that are more like the Wii sensor.
Okay.
And it uses multiples of those, and then the headset is less smart. It's just got reflectors on it, basically. And that was their solution. So, like, everyone's got their own subtly different way of solving the problem.
Which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, and what's nice about it is this round is probably going to be the one that picks the technologies that carry us through the next round. And that's what's kind of neat, because it's very iterative. And it's a lot cheaper than it ever was, because you can get the PlayStation setup for $800 total, right?
Yeah, probably around that.
Because if you had to buy a PlayStation.
I can't remember the price of a PlayStation 4 now, but there's two controllers. You don't have to get the Move controllers, but they're cool.
Well,
you do have to get the camera, which is $30, so yeah, probably about $800.
So here's the trick, because if you already have a PlayStation, which right. a lot of people do, mm-hmm. it's only $400, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So it's becoming much more affordable than it ever was before. And
yeah.
it's also getting more awesome. So I feel like we're getting into a good space with this, because the concept of VR will never really die, even though it never really takes off.
And to be quite honest, I've only played the three games that I've talked about. I actually haven't even played Wayward Sky. Amy beat that whole thing by herself, and I was watching her. So Batman, Resident Evil, and Wayward Sky are the three we've played, but there's a whole, like, disc that comes with the VR that has, like, 15 or 16 games or videos or something on it. Like, it's like, some of them are games, some of them are, like, immersive story experiences with the VR that you can, like, explore around. And I am excited to kind of, like, just go through that disc someday and play, like, the racing game, you know? And
yeah.
see how that, like, the controls there, like, what the revolution of VR is for racing. Is it simply just sitting down and doing stuff, or, like, what do they do to make it
I'm
cool?
I'm sure it's immersive and fascinating. I gotta check that out, because I really love the idea of a simple VR. And the Oculus Rift, I think, was probably what motivated this last round.
Yeah, I would agree.
When they came out.
I mean, in that last round, it was like a year and a half ago, they started like talking about building stuff, because that was when the Oculus was getting built, or
the Oculus
or something.
The Oculus dropped like 2 or 3 years ago. And it was like, it was floating on the edge.
Okay.
But it was one of those things where people were working with the Oculus Rift as a platform. And it became something that you could build on top of, because it didn't do nearly as much as what the stuff does now.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that people, I think it was like whoever, the people at the Oculus Rift, I think it was a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo or something, right? And when that happened, they made so much money and they made the right choices and ended up getting bought by Facebook. They proved that you could cheaply manufacture a head-mounted display now. And
which is a big step in all of this.
It is, because that's the part that's always been an issue. Because up until, I mean, very recently, like in the last 5 years, there's no way you're going to get a head-mounted display that doesn't fuck up your neck.
And think about, like, the last time you saw a head-mounted display. I think it was, like, the Game Boy Virtual. Like,
the Virtual
that
Boy.
You had, like, a really legitimate head-mounted
And
thing.
That Virtual Boy was garbage for that. Like, it was only red. Everybody,
yeah.
I mean, it was panned universally. You had red blindness after playing it for about 30 to 40 minutes, depending on how long you played, where you couldn't see the color red anymore because you just kind of burned those. It wasn't permanent, but you just acclimatized your eyes to only seeing red.
Yeah.
So you took it off, you didn't see red anymore, and it freaked people out. Because of the way it worked, you had to buy a special strap to attach it to your head, and it was very uncomfortable and heavy, so most people didn't do that. But otherwise, you had to lean into it, so you'd hurt your neck. Like, it would have all these fucking problems for it. And so the concept of, like, a head-mounted display was tabled seemingly permanently because of all of the horror. It cost Nintendo a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was a neat thing because it was genuinely 3D. There were multiple planes of rendering. So you actually could focus on different planes. It just gave some people screaming headaches. So, like, that was a step back. Like, that really stuck it to the virtual reality world, like, market. But things like the Oculus Rift came up and really moved it forward and gave us something that...
Well, you have stuff in the middle, too. Like, you have, like, full virtual reality headsets coming out that are bulky. You have games, like, that were trying to do VR, which, like the MechWarrior pods that you could go into.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like
well,
that.
And there's always been a room you can go into with projectors and whatever mm-hmm. that cost tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you could rent them or borrow, you know, you could pay to use them in various places that have immersive realities, or I mean, you could talk about rides in places that are basically virtual reality, right? Like
yeah.
there's all kinds of things like that. But the home market, I want to be able to do it in my underwear has become a dream that's getting more and more real.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't show to me, it doesn't show any signs of dying, because when there's gimmicks, right? Like, the Wiimote was originally considered a gimmick.
Oh, dude, and I was going to say that, because we mentioned Virtual Boy, and then you think about all the stuff that's come out of Nintendo.
Yeah.
If ever. They're the most innovative company
oh, sure.
when it comes to gaming. And, like, the Wiimote. Like, the Wiimote, MIT students had a field day with
yeah.
the IR sensors and stuff like
yep.
that, right? Like, they're like, here's a gaming console, and then people who were like, very clever took it in directions, and you're like, what the hell?
And,
that's
and
so
they
awesome.
They made several key... Very good decisions with that one, to be honest. I also did this when I was at school as I played with the Wiimote. One, $40. They sold it very inexpensively.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the cheapest controllers you could buy of that round. Two, it used standard Bluetooth. It didn't use any goofy, weird protocols like some of the other controllers did at the time. It used Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. Three, you didn't need to buy the system to buy it.
Yeah, that's true.
They were very clever about that. So basically, Wiimote sales outstripped Wii sales, even though Wii sales were crazy high anyway. Because you could just buy a Wiimote and a 30-cent IR diode and a battery and some tape. And with a computer, you could now have a smart whiteboard. Boom, done. And that's the kind of shit that people are, like, figuring out how they could do that. Mm-hmm. If you obviously have to have a projector. But you could do that with a screen, too. I did this. I did it with more of a lighter than an IR thing because I can't solder. But mm-hmm. Or couldn't then. Probably could do one now. But anyway, the concepts of some of the stuff you could do with that were amazing. And the part that I was going with is that was a gimmick when it came out. Then everybody adopted it, and that became the basis for the Move controller, for the Oculus Rift controllers, for the Steam controllers. The miniaturized accelerometers and point tracking of 3D space of the controller, they perfected it.
Yeah, I mean,
they proved that it actually worked, and now everybody took it.
The accelerometer thing is a big deal. Like, yeah. A lot of... I mean, every controller now for every console has an accelerometer in it.
And part of that was because I don't know who, but someone figured out a very, very clever way of doing an accelerometer as a tiny, discrete chip. Mm-hmm. It's a convoluted and somewhat scary structure of silicon and, like, transistors and shit with a weight in the middle. And what happens is, as you move, it moves one way or the other, and you can tell orientation. And I don't remember if it's a separate one now. I think they might use another one that it detects how far it's gone. So if you shake it, it detects that it's there. So and it's this weird matrix. Someone figured out a way to do this. Because otherwise, what you used to have to do is mercury switches, which would be a discrete one axis, and it would have mercury in it, and it would move. And you want it like thin enough where it would move sort of slowly, but not too thin, or it wouldn't move too slow. And then you could kind of roughly tell where things were oriented. And they were bulky and expensive, and I mean, they had mercury in them. And so you had all these issues. Well, then someone figured out this way to make it discrete and cheap. Because you can buy these chips. I can buy the discrete chips for pennies and put accelerometers on it. And what they found is you could just buy, like, instead of having to get a better one, you could just buy, like, four. And that's one of the
and
things.
And then, like, have them all check each other and be like...
Average the values, basically. Uh-huh. And that's what the Wiimote with the add-on did. It just basically plugged in some more.
Like, want some more accelerometers with your accelerometers?
And that basically, that gives you, like, if you average all 3 points, you get orientation more effectively.
Which is a fucking other thing that Nintendo kept doing. Was like, oh, yeah, your Nintendo 64 isn't strong enough to play this game, so here's an addition that makes it bigger. Like, or, like, gives it more processing power or whatever.
Other people have also done that. Like, the
Sega? Did that with, like, their little addition?
Sega that put a modem in the Dreamcast, and they were like,
oh, my God.
This is a fad. This is dumb. Everybody has an
Nintendo. I don't even want to, like... that's a whole other thing.
What I was saying was the technology that looks like gimmicks is occasionally not a gimmick.
You mean being innovative is good for industry?
Sometimes being innovative has far-reaching consequences, like the Microsoft camera, the Move, not the Move, what's it called? The Xbox...
I don't remember. Oh, Kinect.
Kinect, yeah.
That has, like, the pinpoints everywhere. Like,
that one does, like, depth sensing, and it's actually sort of similar to the Wiimote, to be honest, actually, in a lot of ways, because of the way they use the infrared cameras to simplify data sets, because infrared really became a secret to this because you can simplify image processing and depth because infrared has a smaller set of colors that don't throw you off as much. So it's pretty smart to do that. And that's why they used it for the Wiimote. And that's why they used it for that. People used Kinects in every kind of way. And again, they used fairly standard interaction. They released the dev kit for the computer for it, for Windows at least, which then people ported to other systems. And people were using... I saw someone using a Kinect attached to someone's helmet, like a helmet thing, and he was blind, and it was watching in front of him and giving him verbal instructions about where he was going.
Cool.
So, like, as he got too close to the wall, it would be like, there's a wall on your left by this many inches, and it's like, wow. And it just in his little earbud, and he's just sitting there, like, walking along, auto course correcting.
Sweet.
Yeah, and it was, like, his eyes for him.
That's what I was going to ask about, too, is how much of this technology has been adopted by, like, other industries? Like, the digital whiteboard thing?
Yeah.
Is that, like, used nowadays in other industries? Like, did it get developed into more technology?
Digital whiteboards exist. They don't all use that system, but that's one way to upgrade a whiteboard to a digital whiteboard.
Okay.
if you have a whiteboard and a projector. So it's a cheap upgrade. And I think people are making modules that do that. But the part that interests me is being picked up in other sectors. But more than anything, when you're talking about VR, it's all of these seemingly disparate technological advances that then eventually lead to actually making technology like that feasible. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, we have a Wiimote. Oh, okay, well, whatever. But really what that was, oh, we found these way to make these cheap accelerometers and a trick to do point sensing because we actually just put the camera in the controller instead of on the device.
Yeah.
And then if you... It's like, okay, and that leads to point mapping, and then you've got the accelerometer, and then you're like, oh, we figured out a way to make monitors that are a little thinner and lower power, and it manages to cross right over the whatever that line is where it doesn't strain your neck anymore. So it's like, oh, we can make it X percentage, and that's the one where you can put a power lead to it or a battery, and then it becomes this and that and the other thing, and then the whole thing just like dominoes, locks it in, and then all of a sudden VR makes sense.
All right, so two more comments about quick VR. The glasses are weird. With VR, if your glasses are as small as Kendrick's are, you're fine.
Yep.
If they're as bulky and weird as mine are, which I didn't think about until this very moment, it's actually really hard to play VR with glasses. So the second thing is you need a standing pad. You wouldn't think about this until you were actually doing it, but you stand for straight, like, hours. Like, it's almost like an exercise of just standing still, like yoga or something, right?
Yes.
So your feet will start to hurt and things like that. So if you are going to try to do VR stuff, keep in mind these things that are subtle. Like, where are you going to be doing it? You know, do you have room? Do you have something that you can, like, either stand in shoes or have some comfortable place to stand? Do you have glasses? Is that going to be a problem? Have you fitted the headset? You know, what other components are you going to need? With, like, the PlayStation, you might need the Move controllers and the camera, but with the Oculus, you might not need that stuff. So do a little research, because it helped me a lot when I was trying to decide which kind of thing I wanted to do. And so keep that stuff in mind, because it is expensive still a little bit for people.
It's definitely still expensive, but it's becoming the point where you can afford it with... less than a year's salary.
So don't, like, waste all your money with, like, a big thing and then forget that you needed to, you know, have a place to play. Like, is all I'm saying.
And I guess that I would agree with that one and make the next step of saying, it to me it sounds like, don't cheap out on it either.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you... I mean, the cardboard phone thing is cool, but, like, it's not... You might have tainted your view of VR if you did
right. only try that. Right, and it sounds like if you just buy some of these pieces and try to play it that way, then the experience is not nearly as cool as if you go a whole
hog. Yeah, for me, the Move controllers with the PlayStation VR and the camera with just the basic games you can get with the PlayStation VR was, like, the thing that turned me. So, I mean, that's my experience. And I would say look online to see what people are like, okay, if you really want to do VR, here's the best way to do it for X system, right? So, all right, everybody, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Out.